Getting proper mental health care can help you feel more like you. That's why Cerebral offers convenient access to online mental health services, including therapy and medication management. Cerebral's diverse clinician team can help with anxiety, insomnia, relationship issues, workplace stress, and more. You can schedule and communicate with your care team through Cerebral's mobile app and attend your sessions from the comfort of your own home. Get started with or without insurance. Plus, you can use your FSA or HSA. Start your first month for 50% off at Cerebral.com/ACAST.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Jessie Cruikshank, and I've always been told I have a face for podcasting. So I launched a podcast. It's called Phone a Friend because each week I'll break down the biggest stories in pop culture. But when I have questions, I get to phone a friend. I'll phone a royal watcher to find out why Prince Harry is acting like a real housewife. I'll phone a tween to please explain Euphoria. And maybe I'll even phone a Backstreet Boy to find out if I still have a chance. I don't? Okay. New episodes drop every Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.
ACAST helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. ACAST.com.
Hi, it's Dave here. This is my wife, Kathy.
Hello.
This is the Cinemile, the podcast where we used to walk home from the movies. And today we're walking around because there's a movie on our TV.
And we're so excited. This is a movie we've been waiting so long to watch. There's been such a buzz about it since like early last year when it premiered.
Early last year?
I believe so.
In the year 2020?
Yes. It's wow. Finally been picked up for distribution in the UK, so we are going to watch it on Sky Cinema. And it's up for every award going. It just won a load of BAFTAs. It's up for like Best Director, Best Writer, Best Actress, Best Film at the Oscars. So, like, high hopes for this one, I would say.
Yeah, I'm really buzzed for this. I'm excited.
And the director...
I've seen half of the trailer, then I turned it off because it was like...
I kind of know the premise, but, like, I want it... Like, I think it sounds really interesting, but I just want to wait and, like, hold judgment on the film. Mm-hmm. But interestingly, you know the director's name?
Emerald Fennell.
Yes, Emerald
Fennell.
Because
I just looked at it on Google
a
minute ago.
You did, and I couldn't remember. She's so accomplished, right? So this is her feature debut. She wrote the script and directed it, which is amazing.
Yeah. That's awesome.
She's also an actress, right? She starred in lots of things, including The Crown. And
I haven't seen that. Who is she in that?
I mean, I don't know. I don't watch The Crown.
She's one of the royals.
I don't know.
Royals.
I literally just said I don't know. And she was like the showrunner on season 2 of Killing Eve.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's
which is
cool.
Amazing. So I'm fascinated to see what she's
done. I bet
done.
She's younger than us.
I looked her up. She's the exact same age as me.
Oh, that's not so bad.
Same month, same year.
Yeah, so she's younger than me.
Yeah.
Damn.
But I mean, that doesn't matter. Like, yeah. You're not an actress in The Crown.
I hate accomplished people.
And you didn't...
Yeah, but Kathy, I could have been. It was my dream to be an actress in The Crown.
You weren't showrunner on Killing Eve season 2. But yeah, I'm just so interested to watch it. And love Carey Mulligan. Like, she's a brilliant actress.
Yeah, she's awesome. I feel like I haven't seen her in ages. In something.
But I've off
always
the top of my head, I can't think of anything I've seen her.
But such a strong actress.
We've also not seen any movies recently, but
we've
she's amazing.
Seen so many movies.
Well, yeah, but not
from
as many
the comfort
as
of
like.
Our own home.
Anyway, so Pump for Promising Young Woman. Finally, it's here in the UK, so we can actually watch it.
Yeah.
And I haven't been this excited about a movie, maybe since Parasite. No, maybe since Tenet, because Tenet, I was just so excited to go back to the cinema. More than for the movie itself.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one, I can't wait to watch.
Proper excited. This feels like an event because you know everyone's going to be watching
everyone's
it. Everyone's
talking about it and everyone's watching it. So, and like, the director is not one of two women nominated at the Oscars this year.
Chloe Zhao for Nomadland is the other one, right?
Yeah. So, you know.
Which I'm excited because we're getting that in Disney Plus this month as well.
Oh, awesome. Mm. Finally, we're getting to see these movies. So it's, you know, it's a huge thing that she has been nominated. So few women have ever even been nominated, which in itself is absurd, but let's be real, it is a big deal to be nominated. And there we go, we're going to go watch Promising Women.
All right, see you in a bit.
Every week I go to a club, I act like I'm too drunk to stand, and every week a nice guy comes over to see if I'm okay.
You okay?
You are so pretty. I am a nice guy. Are you?
1, 2, 3, 4. I thought we had a connection.
Okay. How old am I? What are my hobbies? What's my name? Sorry, maybe that one's too hard.
Cassandra? We were in class together at Forest. You would have been a great doctor. What happened?
I left under unusual circumstances. You remember what happened, right? Why I dropped out. I'm not the only one who didn't believe it.
We get accusations like this all the time.
Who needs brains? They never did a girl any good.
I'm so sorry I didn't go with her.
You gotta let it go.
Hi, we're back. We've watched Promising Young Woman, and now we're out for a walk, so we can talk about Promising Young Woman.
I wish we'd seen it in the cinema!
Yeah. I mean, obviously things are better in the cinema.
No, but this movie in particular, and we'll get to it in the spoiler sheet, there's some really gut-wrenching moments that I feel like, you know the way, like, it's not a horror film, but when you're in a horror movie or a comedy and there's like
the
a certain reaction,
shock.
Shared shock or reaction to something... There would definitely be moments.
Yeah, there was like I was like, I literally just screamed out loud. Fuck!
There's some real shocker moments in this. What is a revenge thriller? I would say, like I would have absolutely been buzzing to see it in the cinema. Like walk home straight afterwards, like just totally debriefing on it. But anyway, we weren't.
My God, this movie's amazing.
It's better than you think it's going to be.
It's so good.
Like, you think it's going to be brilliant because of all the accolades it's getting. And then
it's even better. It's great.
It's like, you know, those really cheesy quotes you hear about, like, this is a gut punch of a movie. It is. It's all those cheesy things that people say when they're trying to describe how thrilling a movie is.
It is thrilling.
This movie is.
Do you know what it's so good about it? Is that it's like, this is for me, like, the peak achievement of like movie making and cinema, when you can tackle a very important and weighty and difficult subject and do it in a very do it in a matter that does justice to the conversation and gives perspective to an audience and leaves you as an audience member coming away rethinking the world and perspective and your place in society in general and etc etc, while also wrapping it up in a ridiculously entertaining package, right? That's the bit. A lot of movies can do the first bit, but they become very, that's the traditional Oscar worthy baity sort of serious po-face thing. This movie is like colourful and funny and energetic, while also being it deals with very, very dark subject matter.
And like, trigger warning for anyone, like what this movie talks about, and we will be getting into, is sexual assault and consent and everything in that spectrum.
Yeah.
And yeah, what this movie does is,
if it's your first time here, there's no spoilers yet. For this movie. We will only top line discuss the synopsis of the movie or what you would see in a trailer.
Exactly.
And then we'll turn to spoiler street later.
And so kind of her core mission, which is to almost school men about consent through pretending to be really drunk, and then when they almost always try and take advantage of her, she then kind of sobers up and like kind of verbally reprimands them and kind of questions what they're doing, and that in itself is really dark, and also it's really dark subject matter. It's also really dark for her as a character that's what she does every weekend, like her whole life is focused on that. And but then in the midst of that, this is where I was picking up real Killing Eve Villanelle vibes, because her costumes are awesome, she's a brilliant actress. It's Carey Mulligan, she can act, but the character is a brilliant actress. It was such Villanelle vibes. And all the men they cast that she met along the way are men that we're all familiar with.
Best drunk acting I've seen.
She's a brilliant drunk actress. But all the men that we meet are men we're familiar with from other roles where they all play really nice guys.
Yeah.
So as an audience, that's very jarring for us already. And kind of the bigger message of it.
Really smart casting.
I feel like the bigger message is like, you know, issues of sex and sexual consent and sexual assault. There's a spectrum, and kind of at the core, a lot of, you know, men who would identify as really nice guys and other people in their life would identify them as really nice guys in situations where there's alcohol involved and very dubious if zero consent from a woman, they don't feel like their behavior is predatory, and when confronted by her, they just get really pissed off.
Yeah,
and
that's
and think you're crazy. What's wrong with you? And she's like, 2 seconds ago I was blacked out on your bed, and now I'm fully alert, and suddenly you think there's something wrong with me because you were trying to do X, Y, and Z with me while I was blacked out. And they're all like, and that's why the casting is so good, because they're really offended, and like from our, it messes with our minds because we kind of associate those actors as good guys. It's just so cleverly done, and that's only the beginning of the movie, and kind of that it's just taken over her life though, and then we discover why. And so it's like both really fun, like some of the scenes where she's kind of entrapping the men, but also really dark and sad, and that's such a fine line. And I read this really interesting piece with the director that Terry White from Empire did, it was like a year ago, but I think they've just published it now because the movie's just come out. And she talked about like the references she had for the movie, and like when she was like doing the mood board and stuff, like a lot of really fun like noughties music, and also visually movies like Clueless, which are like bubbly and frothy looking, and like, but then there's so much more going on under the surface. And I think one of the reasons we would have loved the movie as well, because we're clearly like the same age as the director, and like she's fully, it's movie, it's, you know, it's
at one stage we thought it was set in the early noughties.
Yeah, like song.
It's got a lot of pop culture references.
It does, and like it feels very topical for us as well as people. For me personally, it's just one of these things that like, it, like you talked about, Dave, how it really makes you think. And I sat really uncomfortably through a large part of it because it really made me reflect on actions of male friends of mine, in university, actions of my own, on, you know, in certain situations where something ambiguous may have been going on, nothing to the extreme of what's going on in this movie, by the way, but ambiguity and how people respond to that in group situations, particularly when they're very young. And I know when I was in school, when I was very, maybe 16, there was like the advent of picture phones that were nothing like phones we look at now. They were extremely blurry and you couldn't really see the pictures. But I do remember a picture being shared around of a young girl, and you couldn't even see her face, but there was a picture being shared around of someone, and it was on my phone. I didn't go to the police about it. I deleted the picture. I didn't want to see it.
Yeah.
But now you look through this lens and you're like, God, like, in some shape or form, we'll all have been culpable in something in this vein. It's so thought-provoking.
Exactly. That's what's very interesting about this, is the that sort of complicity by lack of, by inaction, right?
Yeah.
Almost that's what's analysed here. It's not, there's no very easy, clear-cut black and white in this movie.
Well, there's a couple of real baddies.
But it's for me, the interesting area is that grey area surrounding it. And the, as you said earlier, the perspective that individuals have, and this felt very relatable. Of like, I'm a nice guy, right? I would never do that.
I was just drunk and I was in college, and that was years ago. And like, your college life, and you're like, I'm like all the men in this movie. Oh, I'm a doctor now. Like, I'm grown up. When I was 22, something that happened when I was drunk, it's like removed from me and I have no connection to it, and that's also how a lot of us feel.
And a lot of it is, it's the explanations, it's the way people paste over the cracks with sort of like, just like, we were drunk, she was drunk, blah blah blah.
But also in real life we do that about not just issues around sex or consent, but like issues in general, when your own behaviour, when you think back in the past, something that you're not proud of and you wouldn't do now, but you kind of mentally disassociate yourself from it because I guess that's how the human brain works and that's how we move on with our lives.
Yeah.
If you feel in the past you've maybe wronged someone or treated someone poorly and you regret it, and you may even have apologized, or you may never see that person again, but you don't grapple with it day to day because you can't. You have to park it, right? Because that's how the brain works. And this movie just explores all that. But then, like, we haven't even talked about the fact that it's then, like, so stylish.
Yeah.
Like, it's brilliantly shot. I noticed that it has a Best Editing Oscar nomination as well. It's so colourful and vivid.
As soon as it got me straight away with the title credits, which were done in the style of like an 80s arcade video game, and I'm just like, what? I'm on board, Emerald Fennel.
Yeah.
take me on
and
this journey.
And we're just so on this revenge journey. Like, we're so bought into it. And like, there's just some really iconic scenes as well. Like, there's a scene where, like, two characters are dancing around in a pharmacy to a Paris Hilton song, which I've never heard of. And I was like, oh my god, that scene, I know this scene is iconic. As I'm watching it, I'm going to think about this scene.
Yeah.
For a long time. There's some incredible scenes towards the end that we'll get to on Spoiler Street, which, like, knocked our socks off.
The whole third act of this movie, which we'll get into, is just, like, floored
me. This is why I want to be in the cinema, and I really want to be in the...
Yeah, it would be an amazing shared experience with an audience.
And I know I haven't seen, like, I've barely seen any of the Oscar nominations this year because, of course, it's been really difficult to access movies. But I want her to win so bad for Best Script and Best Director because it's such a...
The screenplay is amazing.
The screenplay is incredible. And it's also, like, it's so nuanced. And, you know, some of the stuff's really hard-hitting. Some of the stuff's so subtle. You've also got, like, the mental breakdown, essentially.
Of an individual. And the, you know, what the title alludes to is the promise. And the title could refer to one of two characters as well.
Yeah, well, both,
I'd say. That idea of promise and potential and how the way society treats one group of people versus another in the same situation, the damage, the completely irreparable damage that society can cause and just take away all that promise for one person and then allow it to continue for somebody who's, you know, without going into spoilers.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
You know, but
and also the supporting cast. I mean, so you've got Carey Mulligan, who's incredible. Like, I knew she was a good actress, but what she does in this movie is, like, beyond. I just think she's just... I can't describe how good I think she is. She's a chameleon.
Yeah, that's so good.
There's a certain scene we didn't even recognise her. Now, I know that's makeup artist and someone does certain makeup to your chin, but it's how she holds her face and, like... When she's in all her different characters, she's amazing. Then you've got Bo Burnham. So do you know who he is? Who's kind of the male lead?
Yeah, he's really familiar.
So he is incredibly accomplished, much like everyone else in this movie. So he was a really famous YouTuber when he was younger.
Oh yeah.
Then he had a huge...
When he was younger. Wait, how old are we now that YouTubers
no,
have grown up?
No, he was young, like, and then he, like, in his early 20s was, like, did a lot of stand-up comedy, including, like, a hugely successful show in Edinburgh. But he wrote...
Is he British?
Eighth Grade.
He wrote
he's American.
Grade.
He wrote 8th Grade, movie that we absolutely loved. Remember, that's why we looked him up this time. Because we were like, who's Bo Burnham?
No, so I didn't see that. You did.
Oh, sorry. Which is 8th Grade is a wonderful movie. So he's that accomplished. He's a brilliant actor.
I hate all these people.
His portrayal of a very, again, complex, nuanced situation, I thought was brilliant. So they're the two leads.
Yeah.
Then you've got all these other ones. It reminded me a bit like Sex and the City when... You always had just these different men cropping up in every episode because they were like, you know, the varying conquests of the women. It was like a rotating cycle of men. This movie has that, with just a rotating cycle of, like, really famous actors. I won't even bother trying to list them all off.
It's perfect. Like, getting Adam Brody's just got the nice guy quality, right?
Exactly.
And to put him in. And that's how they start the movie. So you know where you're at straight away.
And the guy from Veep, who's, like, the sweetest guy.
Yeah, Richard from Veep. He's the casting is so good.
And they have, like, what, Max?
Christopher Mintz-Plasse.
Yeah, they just, it's... And then you've got her parents are incredible. Carey Mulligan's parents.
Yes.
So just everything about it. And then so I...
Stifler's mom. You caught that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't remember her name. I can just remember Stifler's mom. But then in that piece I referenced, the Terry White piece, they were talking about, like, it was shot in something like 20 days. Mm. And on really low budget. And it was produced by Margot Robbie's production company. She, like, picked up the script and they, like, really believed in it. And then, so the whole process is, like, very much...
Margot Robbie has a production company.
Every successful actor
Why
has.
Are all these people so successful?
Why are they? Because she's a hugely successful actress. Of course, particularly women, want to create compelling roles, be it in film or TV, for women, of which there's, you know, a massive lack of. Women like Reese Witherspoon are obviously being a trailblazer in it, but they will bring forward female stories because they're so largely ignored. And this is one of those movies. And yeah, I just... it blew my mind. But I think
and Alfred Molina is...
Oh my god, yeah!
Has a really, really amazing quick scene.
Yeah, brilliant. And you've even got, like, really good construct that it's often in a revenge thing where, like, she's kind of got a bit of, like, a to-do list she's ticking off and you're just so with her as she's doing it.
Yeah.
But now let's go to Spoiler Street.
Right. So actually, before we get to Spoiler Street, I would like to thank some of our new patrons over on our Patreon page. at patreon.com/thecinemile for joining at the rate of £2 or £3 a month.
Yeah, so, for anyone who doesn't know what our Patreon is, it's a bonus podcast feed where we cover movie, retro movies, and we do TV reviews. So this month we've been talking Line of Duty and TV. We just watched Almost Famous, and we are currently in the process of picking a movie with our patrons who choose what we're watching. It's going to be movies about cinema this month, which will be really fun.
So if you want to go head over there, patreon.com/thecinemile, and you can join up just like Leanne Gale did. Thank you, Leanne. Thank you, James. Thank you, Emma Curry, Marty Walsh, R. Glaird. Sorry, I'm definitely butchering that. Jack Miller, Kristen Helgerud, Erin Whitaker, and A.L. Fry. Thank you all so much for joining our brilliant, fun Cinemile High Club, and we love interacting with everyone over there. So head over and give us some suggestions for movies about movies.
And we're particularly at the moment basically doing a lot more episodes on our Patreon for obvious reasons. There's a lot of retro movies and TV out there. Ain't so many new releases for us to catch over here.
Well, we're getting them now. Okay, so full spoilers now for Promising Young Woman.
Don't know where to start.
I don't know where to start either. I feel like we should start at the end.
Okay, now there's a couple of things I wanted to talk about before we get to the end. Just, again, just some brilliant writing here. Like, because when we first meet Carey Mulligan, she is, like, quite ferocious, right, in what she's doing. And it's a very much kind of, yeah, like, I'm empowered for her, like, love what she's doing. The more you get to know her and you kind of realise, okay, she dropped out of med school, you kind of learn about what happened to her best friend and the circumstances under which her friend died, and you learn that, like, Carey Mulligan's life basically stopped at that moment, like, in parallel with her friend, and she has seemingly for years been adrift, living with her parents, and she's working in a coffee shop in which she's not very doing a very good job. And you very, you know, softly, but you learn from her parents' perspective, like, they don't know, like, it's that Promising Young Woman thing. They basically went from having a daughter who was, like, presumably a huge achiever to a daughter who suddenly is completely almost lifeless. And I think that was most captured on the morning of her 30th birthday, which this is where I thought the writing was just, she walks downstairs and there's a gift and she's like, huh?
First of all, she didn't know it was her own birthday.
That's what I mean. Yeah. The mom's like, it's your 30th birthday. And she's like, what? And to me, that was such a sign of someone in depression, because, like, forgetting your own birthday, I've often forgotten my age lately, but actually forgetting your own birthday, that's dark. And her parents just are so upset. And then, you know, later on when she gets her boyfriend and she's, like, kind of happy and, like, finding herself again, her dad's like, you know, we loved your best friend, but, like, we love you and we've missed you. And it was just like, you kind of got a, like, a look into the heartbreak.
That's the thing, her life, you know, she speaks at the end about how Nina ceased to be Nina after that point. And it's like the same thing happens to her. I forgot her character's name. But the same thing happens
to, she's too famous. If it's a really famous actress, you can't remember the character's name.
The same thing happened to Carey Mulligan, the woman, the promising young woman, women, the both of them were, you know, was robbed from that incident.
And it's so sad because it's like not just this where the movie's so complex. It's like, it's not just the incident itself, which is awful, what happened to her friend.
It's how they were treated post the incident.
And this is where I absolutely love
that's where
her
the injustice comes in.
So it's like, it was reported to Connie Britton, another amazing actress, who did absolutely nothing about it. She actually went to get a lawyer, and the lawyer convinced her to drop it, who we learn later is an absolute, you know, tyrant and a bully, and he was incentivized to get women to drop cases of a sexual assault. Then you had on the periphery people like Alison Brie, who knew what went down, didn't do anything about it. Yeah. And you've this whole society which is structured around blaming the victim and letting men off the hook for which is just, you know, every day of the week we know this happens. And I just blown away how she navigated all this in this movie.
It's so, so complex. And then what Carey Mulligan's character does is, what I loved is, you know, put each of these people, somehow constructed scenarios where each of these people are faced with the reality of what Nina would have been faced with.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's what is it? It's like taste of your own medicine
and
justice.
And this was pure Villanelle. So she does these elaborate, Villanelle being from Killing Eve, she literally does these elaborate setups where she's like, okay, Alison Brie, we're going to meet up. She's like, hey girl, They like sit down now, and I really don't agree with what she did here. She got her drunker than she meant to, because she pretended like she was drinking the wine too. She wasn't. Got her in it, got her to openly say, I believe if a woman gets really drunk and she, you know, it's her own fault what happens to her. And then she darkly...
That's the crucial bit here. She gives everyone a chance of redemption. Yeah. Or to allow themselves to present
sorrow
or reflection. Because when, you know, we see that with Alfred Molina's character, where she calls off whatever that bald guy outside was going to
do.
Like
that was brilliant.
She's not somebody who's just out for blind justice. She's looking for... She's allowing forgiveness and redemption. She says, I forgive you to him. That's the thing. She wants change in society, and that can only happen through acknowledging the past. And
but what she's doing, though, is fundamentally so fucked up, though.
Oh, God, yeah. Sorry, I'm not justifying
that. No, I know you're not. I mean,
it's a cartoon film
forget as you're watching it, which so often the revenge movies are, right? And when she gets Alison Brie in that really dark situation, that's really fucked up what she does to Alison Brie.
Yeah.
The Alfred Molina
But sorry, her as a character, Carey Mulligan, kind of recognises that later when she comes back off that dangerous path she's on. And when she meets Alison Brie, she instantly apologises. Look, I'm so sorry. I forgot to call you. That was, you know...
I love what she did to Connie Britton personally, because while she made Alison Brie think that something awful had happened to her, with Connie Britton, she just like...
Connie Britton got the explanation immediately.
I really enjoyed the scene with Connie Britton, I have to say. I really enjoyed that. And then... I guess it shows,
it's very outlandish methods, but it presents the hypocrisy of that, you know, oh, I get these kind of cases all the time. These boys' lives would be ruined.
She says, we get allegations like this twice a week.
I know, that's a horrifying incidental bit of dialogue.
You know, it's a whole other, movement that's going on at the moment here, like sexual assault in schools and universities, but for someone to say we get allegations like that twice a week and for her to read that as, so... ergo they're not true, as opposed to ergo we've got a serious problem with assault on our campus. But then the kind of inciting incident that makes Carey Mulligan go down this specific revenge path, because at the beginning of the movie it's more like every week she's teaching unknown men a lesson, but because she then meets this guy she went to university with, played by Bo Burnham, and they start dating, and then he kind of brings up the fact that the perpetrator has moved back from London, Al. And then this all kind of revenge plot kicks in for her, I guess. And that's like what was so sad about the movie, because for a while there it felt like a bit of a rom-com. Like, he's, you know, seemingly a really nice guy. He's very good for her. They're good together. And then I said to Dave, like, obviously he was there at the event.
But that's what's kind of so interesting to me about this movie. It's because Bo Burnham's character is a nice guy. Like, he's not like in he is the both those things. He's somebody who was present during a horrific event, did nothing about it, but he's also somebody, he's not pretending to be somebody for the rest of the film or all his actions with Carey Mulligan.
Yeah,
they have genuine interactions. They do love each other.
There's layers of complicity, and there's, you know, he's not like Al, who's an out and out baddie. He is a guy who right now, living in this moment, is probably a guy who tries to do his best. And he even says, like, he's completely distanced himself from those guys at college. And I'm positive that if that situation arose now, he would have dealt with it very differently.
Yeah.
When we finally see the tape, or we hear the tape, and luckily we don't see it, you do even hear his voice then. He's like, guys, this is fucked up. Like, he's not... enjoying it, but he's certainly not saying anyone should stop or removing himself from it. And when she confronts him with it, he's immediately like, but I'll lose my job, this will help me, that will help me.
Yeah.
He's immediately thinking about himself, and like everyone she confronts bar Alfred Molina, no one's thinking about the victim. Every person, even her boyfriend, makes it immediately about themselves.
But
and
also,
I feel like if she'd known, if she knew that he had been in that room, though not a participant and not a happy participant, and it wasn't her best friend and all those other things hadn't happened, she would either A, have never found out about it, or B, there would have been nuance to the discussion, but she could never be with him after that. Like, it's her best friend, and her whole life is trying to seek revenge for that friend.
Exactly.
So their relationship was so doomed.
Okay, let's talk about the whole end of this movie, because as soon as we saw a Facebook post mentioning a bachelor party, I was like, "All right, there's our third act.
Yeah.
Here it comes."
And we've seen
Chekhov's bachelor party.
Yeah, the movie poster was her in this, you know, crazy nurse's outfit. So albeit she seemed to be off her path of revenge, we're like, it's gonna come back. And just the whole style of all this, when like she brings her car, she like has this incredible kind of Harley Quinn-esque styling, which is interesting because Margot Robbie is obviously involved in the production. And just that scene of her just walking up the door to the bachelor party, and you were like, what crazy shit is she gonna do?
Yeah.
And I just love that, like, all the men are there and they open them and they're all like, whoa, all to call the stripper. Nobody called the stripper, they're so stupid. And then she kind of immediately drugs them all and gets him upstairs and cuffs him to the bed, and you're just like, what is she gonna do? But you know, the whole time she's talking about Nina to him, all he's doing is thinking about himself.
Yeah.
He is not even for one second thinking about, he's like, he's
it's all excuses
himself.
It's
all about him.
Yeah.
And he's just so vile, right? And we hate him. And then, granted, she's about to use a scalpel on him, so I think, you know, in self defense he does attack back,
but it's not, but yeah, then, it's self defense to a point.
And
when,
then he
when
just,
the knee, and I thought that was a really,
it was shocking
the way in which she died. Feels
it was so
particularly
shocking.
Triggering with, you know, the past
brutal.
Year in particular and everything.
And
so
it was also like, we just kept saying, she's not going to die, she's the star of the movie, she's not going to die. You're just waiting. Even when his friend came in the next morning, you're like, oh, she's going to like jump up out of the bed, or like,
no, I didn't think that
shocking.
At that stage.
And then that friend who we had already kind of learned kind of peripherally was an asshole.
Another nice guy from New Girl kind of casting.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Though he was the most probably visibly, if you met them all at a party, he was probably the one that you'd have always been like, he's an asshole. The rest of them really hid it. And he's immediately like, okay, we're going to get rid of the body, we're going to do this, we're going to that.
For me,
it's all fine.
For me, he represents in that moment like society and how society enables these guys to just wash over these things. And because there's a moment where he's the Al guy is like shook and what have I done? And you could see he's like, this is awful. And the other guy enables him. The other guy comes in and says, no, this isn't your fault. This is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Do you know? And that he represents the lawyers, the college, everyone who let him get away with his actions.
But even then, Al
convinced him that he had done nothing wrong.
But Al's still like, my fiancée's going to be so upset. Al is not at all. This woman murdered me because I attacked her best friend.
But also, exactly. And the other thing is, like,
or I murdered
in that
her.
Moment with the two of them, they never, like, Carey Mulligan ceases to be a person. They never acknowledge her. And they did the same to Nina. It was, no one is, like, discussing who she was, what
he's
happened
like,
to her.
A stripper.
It's just like, she just becomes, it's, as you said, it's all about them. How am I going to deal with this? What have we done? And that's,
it was
for
just,
me, that's, it's just like
that final, that scene of her when she was on the bed with him with the handcuffs and everything, it's also
reminder
dark.
Of when you look at this on a meta level and what this movie is trying to tell us about society, it's a reminder that this is an uphill battle in terms of, you know, we're with Carey Mulligan, who has all the power throughout this movie, but
she has no
right
power because it's a patriarchal society.
Exactly. This is as soon as that flips and his knee comes down, you're just like, this is, as you say, this is the patriarchy, and it's it can just crush you in an instant.
And this is what
just
we
like
were
it
like,
did Nina.
We were like, what? We were like, what's going to happen now? And then you've got like, and then this is just when the movie became absolutely magical.
Oh my god, I like, this is a
wedding.
Punch the air moment where you're like, justice from beyond the grave.
Yeah, it was basically,
it's so
like
perfect.
All of your perfect fantasies of like how you would wreak revenge on, like, and it also interestingly showed that she went into that situation thinking very clearly that she might actually die.
Yeah.
And she was willing to do that. And it was interesting when I read the interview with the director, she said there had been an alternate ending whereby Carey Mulligan lives and she basically kills the two lads and like burns the house down. And she's like, but as a character, like, that's not satisfying for Carey Mulligan, because she's already living an incredibly dark life, and at that point it's like, then she's just a murderer. What, does she just go to prison? Like, how is that satisfying for us? Whereas this way it's almost like she fully extracted the revenge and she did it from beyond the grave, and that then feels very satisfying, particularly because it was kind of a twist. Like, and I just love that he got arrested like in the middle of his way. It was like absolute like maximum pain for Al was extracted.
I just Yeah, I mean, look, that bit was very satisfying. But for me, what's going to haunt me is how long she let the murder scene run for. So, like, you're with him and her on that bed for every excruciating second during the murder and what felt like an eternity afterwards.
Yeah.
Where she would not cut away. And that was shocking. Like, I was breathless.
It was essentially like, of, you know, all the themes in this movie, you know, very strong one being male physical violence against women. And then, of course, all the wheels of the patriarchy as they, like, subdue women's stories and like, people's lived experiences are just ignored. But, yeah, that bed was just, like, such a vivid... It was such a shock.
You're right, though. It's just that it's a reminder of the literal and metaphorical strength of...
Yeah, and you have a woman like her who...
Patriarchal
she's
society.
Like, was her name Cassie? I can't remember. Anyway, she's so
clever. Cassie, you're right.
She's so resourceful, clearly. She's so...
Top of her class in med school.
Yeah, she's got everything going for her, and it's just like, it's just, yeah, God. I feel like we could talk about this movie forever, but I want to know what all of you guys think about it. Please message us.
One thing that just struck me as well was that this is almost it's the opposite to that episode of Criminal UK, which we saw, right? Do you remember
the one with
Kit Harington, where we felt like that was presenting a viewpoint which we felt didn't really need to be expressed. Like, that's the viewpoint of the Al character here. Well, no, in that case, whatever. We won't go into spoilers on that. But the whereas I felt like this is the kind of storytelling we need to sort of... And this is what I was saying earlier about, like, weighty subject matter in an accessible manner. The way she confronts... If the scene where she confronts Connie Nielsen about the hypocrisy of her own thinking and Alison Brie... If that reaches somebody and makes them think a little bit different about how they perceive these subjects, then it's kind of job done.
But I'm less concerned about the scenes with Connie Britton and Alison Brie, albeit I am also concerned.
As examples.
No, but I want the scenes from the beginning of the movie about women being really drunk and men taking advantage.
Too.
So yeah, I want to hear what everyone listening to this thought in the movie.
Please let us know.
Albeit I said I have no point of comparison of the other movies really, but I hope they win all the Oscars.
Just give them all the Oscars.
Give them everything. It's fine. I mean, no one's going to watch the ceremony anyway, but it would be nice for them to win it all.
But, like, suddenly this is, like... I'm just excited to have this, like, writer-director suddenly on our...
I cannot wait.
In our futures. Like, I cannot wait to see what she does next.
And you know the way, like, Phoebe Waller-Bridge was given, like, whatever, millions and millions, tens of millions to work with Amazon off the back of, like, Fleabag and... Killing Eve.
Yeah, Emerald Fennell's next project is funded already, right?
I'm sure it is, but... Yeah. I do want her to keep making movies. I know I'm a big, you know, most these days we mostly watch TV and not movies, but, like, there's something about, like, the impact of a story like this in a movie that is, when you've got a message like this, I think you're, you know, the audience for it will be really big, as opposed to maybe a TV series and people have to kind of follow along. And it's also just good to have such a big buzz about a movie because obviously we've been really lacking releases. Yeah. So yeah, everyone, let us know what you thought about the movie. Follow us. We're at The Cinemile on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and we're thecinemile@gmail.com, and of course we're patreon.com/thecinemile if you want to get what is now maybe 30-40 retro movie reviews and dozens of TV reviews as well.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Bye.
What are you gonna do?
I don't know.
Why do you guys have to ruin everything? We were kids.
If I hear that one more time,
I have to give him the benefit of the doubt. I was hoping you'd feel differently by now.
It's every guy's worst nightmare getting accused like that.
Can you guess what every woman's worst nightmare is? I wanted to be a doctor my whole life. Lately, I've been feeling like I might want to get back into it.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
What do you do when no one else is watching? What do you do that makes you happy for no reason at all? What are you obsessed with? I'm Leslie Arfin, and I'm a writer, but I'm also a dancer, a painter, a vapor, a dollhouse enthusiast, and basically just an overall hobbyist. My podcast, Filling the Void, is all about what other people are fanatically into. We talk about hobbies, even if you don't have one.
Listen to Filling the Void on Tuesdays on the Irios Network and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.